Before we get started business meeting, I would ask, we're going to do a short devotional, I'd ask that you would open your Bibles to John 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, in verse 19. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 19. John says, "And this is a testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they said to him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?' And John answered them, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for the purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." This is God's word. Now would you pray with me? Our God, we're thankful for this night. We're just thankful that we can gather as a body at any time throughout the week and to encourage one another with the word. Lord, I pray that that would be what happens here, that we would be encouraged by what we see and by what we hear. God, make us more like your Son through what is said tonight. And Lord, also guide this meeting as we do it. And Lord, I just pray that everything that is said and done would be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John says in 1 John chapter 2, a little precursor for Sunday, that the focus, that the main confession of the Christian life that determines whether you are an antichrist or a Christian is whether or not you say that the Christ is Jesus. Meaning that what it means to be a Christian is that you have to understand who Jesus is. That means that the unbelieving world's most fundamental problem is that because of sin, they don't know who Jesus is. They misunderstand Jesus. And what is more is that when we sin as believers, each and every sin comes from unbelief. Unbelief about who Jesus Christ is to us and for us. And what his grace is to us. And we misunderstand the riches of his kindness for us. So there is a desperate need for us as believers, for unbelievers and for one another and for ourselves, to not only know who Jesus is according to Scripture, but to proclaim that to others. Because how are they supposed to know who Jesus is unless we tell them? And in John 1:19-34, John the Baptist examples for us not only understanding who Jesus is, but proclaiming that to others to correct their misunderstanding. And so the main idea for this short devotional is to testify to who Christ is by who you are and what you say. Testify to who Christ is by who you are and what you say. So the first point of this passage is to testify to who Christ is by who you are. And we see very quickly that the emphasis of this passage seems to be on who John the Baptist is. You got the Pharisees coming towards him. They ask him three times, "Who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" And each time the Baptist says, "No, I'm not. I'm not." And what we get here already in these questions is that the Pharisees misunderstand who Jesus is. Namely, because they ask him first, who are you, insinuating that he's the Christ. That's why John says, I'm not the Christ. And then they ask him later, are you the prophet? Which is from Deuteronomy 18, a prophet like Moses who will come and have the words of God in his mouth, and they will listen to him. The Old Testament testifies that the prophet and the Christ, the Messiah, are the same person, but it seems that the Pharisees think they're different people. So they already misunderstand who the Christ is. John answers this first onslaught of misguided questions with a modified version of Isaiah 40, verse 3. He says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. This passage in Isaiah speaks about the coming of the Lord to comfort his people through his salvation, and that there's this person who will make straight or prepare this way for the Lord's coming. And John says, I'm this one. I know who I am. According to Scripture, my identity is the guy who's supposed to make the way for the Lord. And then they ask him again, misunderstanding who Christ is. Then why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? In light of the fact that the Old Testament nowhere says that the Christ or the prophet or Elijah even is supposed to be doing this baptismal ministry that John's doing. Once again, we have a misunderstanding of who Christ is. So John answers, and he doesn't answer the question, really. He doesn't say, well, because, I'm baptizing because. But he doubles down on his identity statement from before. He says, yeah, I'm the guy who baptizes with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, and I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He says, you don't get it. You think I'm the Christ because I'm baptizing? You think I'm the Christ in general? No, I'm just the trailblazing, make straight the path of the Lord guy, and I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. John moves from his identity and he makes this claim about his worth. You see, an artist has at his disposal two methods to highlight the importance of a piece in his painting. He can either use vibrant colors and shapes and forms to emphasize the main character in his painting, or, like Rembrandt does, he can darken everything else around it to make the center figure stand out. He can suppress what surrounds the central figure to bring out the importance and worth of that central figure. And that's what the Baptist does here. John understands his identity and God's redemptive plan so well, who he is, that it causes him to understand who Christ is, who is worthy and who is not. And notice he doesn't say how worthy and supreme and preeminent Christ is. He says how unworthy he is. So we understand how worthy and beautiful and preeminent and supreme Christ is by how humble John is. John so understands who he is and what his role is before God according to Scripture that it drives him to a humility that exalts the Savior. And friends, I fear for my own life and for each of yours that our lives in our church or in our home, in our relationships, with our friendships, in our workplaces, that our lives that are supposed to be proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord, supreme, worthy, the only one, that message is being undermined by lives who misunderstand who we are before God, that walk in a pride, that do not testify to the worth of Christ. So in that way, we need to testify to who Christ is through who we are. Second, we need to testify to who Christ is by what we say. And specifically, John says two main things. First, he says that the Christ is the divine Lamb of God. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he says that Jesus is not only one who ranks before him, but that is so because he was before him. This is claiming his deity. He's saying, he was before me. He was, as John says back in John 1, he was with God in the beginning, and he was God. This guy is the divine Lamb of God. And this Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is picked up from the Old Testament with how the blood of the Lamb was to cover the sins of the people. And how even Isaiah 53, which talks about Christ, it says that he is like a lamb that is led to the slaughter to atone for the sins of his people. Jesus is the one who takes away the sins of the world. And this is the heart of the gospel message. If we are going to help others and help each other and help ourselves understand who Christ is, then we have to get the most central message of the gospel right, is that Jesus is not only fully God and fully man, but he is the one who has the once and for all atoning sacrifice for our sin. He takes away the sin problem that we have. We ought to tell people and each other and ourselves what John says here. Friend, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Takes away all of your sins. Second, he also says he's the anointed Son of God. We see in verses 32 and 34, he talks about how he saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and how the Father told him that the one whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this one baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This one is the Son of God. This is picking up language from Isaiah again in Isaiah 61, where the Messiah is this one who is has the Spirit on him, laid on him. And also in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, we are told that we're going to be given a new heart in the new covenant by the Spirit of God. We're going to be given the Spirit within us. The Jewish leaders thought that it would be fitting for the Messiah, as we saw, to be baptizing with water. But John says, no, this one does not just baptize with water, but he baptizes with the very Spirit of God. And because the water cannot take away sins, but the Spirit of God can give new hearts that want to obey God, that love him, and that know him truly. Jesus Christ is not only the divine Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but he is the anointed Son of God who makes hearts new. This is who Jesus Christ is. So one application point from this passage is that we should see how the gospel causes humility in us, and that pushes us to share who Christ is with others. Consider today how the gospel of God's matchless grace to us as sinners who deserve to be damned shows us that we have no room to boast, but to, in humility, boast only in the Lord, and to boast loudly to others by how we live as humble servants of our King, and how we speak and are witness to what he's done for us. This is Jesus Christ, my friends. Testify to who Christ is by who you are and what you say, for the world needs him. Your friends need him. Your family needs him. And you need him. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this day once again. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the good news found in him, that he takes away all sin. And Lord, that he has given us a new heart, that we were helpless without him. God, help us to be humbled by the unbelievable mercy that is shown to us in your Son. And God, let our lives testify to his greatness and worth. And let our mouths overflow with joy, telling others who he is. We praise your great name today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.